Firstly, good morning, and it's good to be here, and thank you so much for your kind welcome to come and to be amongst you and to minister the Word of God. I consider it a great privilege and honour to be here with you. It was a delight to speak with your pastor not so long ago, and do thank him for his kind invitation to come and minister the Word of God. And thank you, Jonathan, for your hospitality and warmness here. It's a delight to be with God's people here this morning. I bring greetings from the church in Hemel Hempstead, and they're praying for us. I trust we'll pray for them this morning, that God would minister to our hearts through His holy and precious word, for the glory of His name and for the good of our needful souls. Well, dear congregation, if you please open your Bibles with me to the Gospel according to Luke, where our dear brother read from a moment ago, Luke chapter 8, and I read from verse 17 just these last two verses as we begin to consider particularly verse 18 this morning. Verse 17, "For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have." Paul says to Timothy, preach the word. Now, the Lord very clearly tells us in this parable in verse 11 that the seed is the word of God. So the explanation is very clear from the text here. Now, think with me with sanctified imagination just for a few moments. If you were the devil, how would you and where would you begin to frustrate the purposes of God in His holy church? Where would you begin? And we know, dear friends, if God has ordained the preaching of His word to be that primary weapon in His arsenal in which He is to destroy the kingdom of the prince of darkness, the devil, would you not begin with the preaching of God's word? Would you not seek to undermine, would you not seek to pervert, if not utterly destroy, the preaching, the kerygma, the heralding of God's word? And that's what preaching is. It's not what it is today, what men make of preaching or think preaching is, little talks, but it is to be heralded as a king would send out his messenger. The word of God is not to be excused, but to be preached, to be declared. Would you not seek, if you were the devil, would you not seek to undermine, if not utterly destroy or diminish or demean the preaching of God's word? You surely would. And this is why Paul says to Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And dear friends, a lot of what is passed for preaching today is mere entertainment and fables of men. If you were the devil, would you not substitute the preaching of the word of God for ritual and form and ceremony and entertainment? Instead of the preaching, musical entertainment for the preaching of God's word? Well, that's what it is for many a church today. You can go to many a church and there's hours and hours of singing and just a few minutes of time around God's holy word. Well, I would suggest if you were the devil, that's probably where you would begin. But if you failed to do that, what would be the very next means of attempting to defend your interests of that kingdom of darkness be? What would it be? Well, would it not be to turn aside men's hearing of the Word of God? That true gospel preaching, would you not seek, if you were the devil, to undermine the hearing, to thwart the purposes of God, and to defend your own evil interests? Well, you would. If you just look there at Luke 8 verse 12, that is exactly what the devil does. Look with me. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now I'm going to submit to you as Christians, when we are saved, we continue to be saved. That word in the Greek, saved, carries this meaning that we are being renewed and being renewed, and we are being saved, and we will finally receive that full salvation when we see Jesus Christ. There is a sense in which we're saved now, but we're also being saved. And we must work out our salvation in fear and in trembling as the people of God. And it is the devil's plan and purpose, I submit to you, to seek to steal away that seed, that word of God from our hearts. And when Satan fails to hinder the preaching of the pure word of God, he seeks to take away the proper reception of that word. And he will seek to do that even in the heart of the believer. And in this parable that we read just a moment ago, each person there is represented by the different soils. I'm sure you're all familiar with this parable of our Lord Jesus. I'm not going to go through the various soils, but we know them well. We know the man that is represented by the wayside heart. Well, he just hears, and the devil, as we've read there, snatches that word, and then that seed that falls amongst the thorns. The man hears the word, but things in the world quickly captivate his heart. And the same with the rock, the seed that fell amongst the rock. The man hears the word, receives it with joy, but there's no deep root work of repentance in that person's heart. And then, of course, there is the good soil, which are truly the children of God, that heart that has been prepared by the Lord Himself. And I want to do this morning, I've got three things that I want to bring to your attention. The first thing is a serious duty commanded by the Lord. I want us to see that from the text, particularly in verse 18. And then the second thing is a solemn warning about a twofold principle explained by our gracious Lord. And then where I want to spend the bulk of our time is on this last point, the divine tests and warnings that we glean from the Scriptures for every heart that hears. There are divine tests and warnings that we are to take heed. And if our Lord Jesus says we must take heed, we must listen to those tests that assert whether we are hearing with a way that meets with the Lord's approval and for the blessing of our souls. So let us begin. The first thing I want you to see is a very serious duty commanded by our Lord. Look at verse 18 with me. Our Lord says, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear." Now our Lord Jesus Christ, we read at the beginning of this parable, is not only addressing a rather large crowd that has gathered around him, but amidst that crowd is his disciples, with many other people around him. There's, in other words, a gathered people. Now it's obvious from the teaching here that this verse comes in the context of the gathered people. And it may be in a setting such as this. They may be those of you that are perhaps churchgoers, but you've not been born again. You're not Christians. Now, I am not casting aspersions upon anybody here. I don't know you. I've never met you before. It's a joy to be here. But the gathered people, the Lord Jesus is speaking to. And we could also take that text in Matthew 28, verse 19, where the Lord says to His disciples, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." So in the context of the gathered people, people are to observe all things under the preaching of God's word. The disciples were to go out and to teach. The people will observe all things. So that's the context. The gathered people, whether they're the people of God or not, and some people may not be, some will be, we are to take heed. Now, if you look at verse 18, this phrase here, "take heed," blepo in the Greek, what we have here is a present imperative. And what it means is this: to be continually giving careful attention to the specific manner in which you are to be constantly hearing the Word of God. Let me repeat that. To be continually giving careful attention to the specific manner in which you and I include myself in this, as the preacher of God's Word, this applies to every single believer. We are to be continually giving careful attention to the specific manner in which we are to be constantly hearing the Word of God. And that is vital. Now, this is obviously assuming, and I am assuming, that there is a godly ministry not only here, but our Lord Jesus is saying the Word, the pure Word of God. It's in the context of hearing that Word. It is assumed here that you are exposed to that kind of ministry, that the pure Word of God, that divine seed of the Word of God, is being preached, sown amidst you. And here we have this serious duty commanded by our Lord to take heed to the manner in which we are hearing. And I want you to notice, this is not an option. The Lord is not saying here, "I'm giving you good advice." But here is a solemn duty to take heed to the manner in how we hear. In other words, it's not good enough to be in the right place and under the right ministry and to expect the automatic blessing of God's Word. But rather, it is a serious command to be obeyed. And what did Jesus say? "If you love me, keep my commandments." And the Lord Jesus here, I submit to you, is commanding us. He's not saying this is an option, but He's commanding us to take heed how we hear. Be continually giving careful attention to the specific manner in which you are constantly hearing the Word of God. So there in the first place, we see a solemn warning from our Lord Jesus. And secondly, I want you to note, there is a solemn warning about a twofold principle explained by our Lord. Look with me. For. In other words, because. There in the Greek, gar, the little word Here is the reason the Lord Jesus is saying, here is the reason why you need and I need to take heed to the manner in which we hear. Here's the critical reason. For, because whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken. Even that which he seemeth to have. And so the warning of this twofold principle is thus. In the first place, whosoever hath, do you see that phrase there? Whosoever hath, here is the one that has received from the Lord. To him shall be given. Here are those that have taken heed. They've already begun to take heed, and more is increased and added to them. They receive more and more spiritual life and understanding, blessing from the Word of God. They are, like as Psalm 1 says, trees beside living waters, knowing the blessing of that living stream whereby they abide. And they bring forth fruit in due season. What a wonderful picture that is. But I want you to notice with me, as we look at this verse, there is a principle that has a very frightening side to it. Look at what our Lord says. Even those who refuse to take heed, how they hear from him, that one, shall be taken, even what he seemed to have possessed. He never possessed it to begin with. But even what he seemed to possess is taken away. Here was a tree that looked grand at once. It looked promising. But really in it there's no life. All there is rotten wood. And if you put your foot to it, it'll fall over to the ground. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Here is somebody who seems to have been a Christian, but it's evident as time goes on, they're nothing but rotten wood. What they seem to have is by and by taken away from them. Now, there is obviously a time factor involved in this principle. This doesn't all happen in one day. But our Lord is conveying this, that there is here, by and by degrees, this person loses whatever he seems to have. And my dear friends, what a frightening thing this is. To lose what you thought you had. And to find in that final day, to hear those words, depart from me, I never knew you. You who work lawlessness, anomia. Dear people, for me, for 19 years, in one congregation, has been time enough for me to have seen the principle worked out again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. I've seen it. not just in that congregation. But that principle applies to any and every local church. This church is not immune to it. No church is immune to it. It is a principle set forth by our Lord Jesus that applies to every gathered church setting. And that ought to put fear in us, friends. That ought to really put fear in us. But there is that positive side where I have seen over the 19 years where I've been amidst that one congregation. I have seen those on this positive side, those that have received, and they continue to take heed to how they hear, and they receive more and more and more and more, and they are now, they were once seedlings, but now they are mighty oaks, great pillars in the church. Continue to receive more and more. And they know the blessing of the Lord. What a joy it is to see that positive side of that principle worked out. But that dark side, I have seen those that have not taken heed. Come to church late, you see them falling asleep in the message, and it's little wonder that they are not attentive to the midweek meetings and their own Bible readings, and there's no joy for the Lord, and they come out of a matter of ritual and form. There is no substance to their Christian life. And you see, by and by, what they seem to have is taken away. Where are they now? They're lost. What you notice is over time, nobody comes to those people for counsel in the midst of the dark trials, perhaps in the church. No one ever speaks to them as one that is growing in Christ's likeness and conformity to our blessed Saviour. Nobody is saying, oh, if I could only walk like them, if only I could be more like them. Nobody's saying things like that. Why? Because what they seem to have is by and by taken away, because they did not heed to how they hear. And my friends, I want to say this morning, God is the divine giver, and He is the divine taker away. He is the one that bestows the gifts and adds to the gifts, but He is also the one that takes away. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken. Even that which he seemeth to have. Now lastly, and this is where I want to spend the bulk of my time, I'm thankful for your pastor who said to me, I have a reasonable amount of liberty as far as my time goes. Don't worry, I won't take too long, but I don't want to miss out the most important part here of the Word of God, where we need to examine and look at the various tests. And I'm not going to give a full orbed array of tests, but here are just, I would suggest, three that we can take from Holy Scripture. I'm sure there are many more, that we can ascertain whether we are hearing the Word of God in a way that will bring more blessing from the Lord. So far we have seen that the text demands, and I trust that I have been faithful to the text in giving that sort of exposition that is faithful to the text. We've seen the text demands that we solemnly pay careful attention to the manner in which we hear the Word of God. Our Lord says it's not enough to have a faithful ministry. And let me say this. Think about who's saying all of these things. And in his midst, I mean, nobody ever preached to the faithful degree of our blessed Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody ever preached to the degree of our Lord Jesus. He is the divine sower. No man ever spake as he did. Yet in the climate and the orbit of his preaching, he would have to say, take heed to how you hear. It's not enough to be in my presence, says the Lord. You must take heed. And yes, we could argue that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's like a hammer that smashes the heart. And well, the word is necessary. We're not demeaning preaching by any degree. And preachers must work hard to faithfully exegete the text and to apply it and to preach it in all of its purity, undiluted, untainted from man's theology and thinking. We're not dismissing that at all. But friends, there is no automatic blessing to hearing even words straight from the mouth of the divine Lord Jesus. Let's understand that before we move. We are constantly to give attention. Now, there are many tests. The first point I want to make is this. Be aware, brethren, that the heart of many loves to be entertained by the word of God while remaining covetous, which Paul says is idolatry. What is covetousness? Idolatry. Colossians 3:5. And covetousness, which is idolatry. Turn with me, please, to Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 30. Let's read it. Ezekiel 33:30. And as I say, be aware, the heart of many loves to be entertained by the word of God and preaching, faithful preaching, yet while remaining covetous and idolatrous. Let me give you just the context, the verses that we're going to read. Here are people urging each other to come and to hear the prophet Ezekiel. God speaking to Ezekiel says, also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord? And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words. But they will not do them for, because. Now note, here is the condition of the heart. As they listening to Ezekiel, with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Look at verse 32. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but do them not. God says to Ezekiel, there are people that as you walk past their houses, if you read the text there, they're all talking in their homes. Let's go to the temple and let's hear what Prophet Ezekiel has to say. We long to be in the presence of God and his people. But Ezekiel, all you are to them is like a lovely song. They love to hear the preaching, All you've become to them is concert entertainment. That's all you are. They're entertained by preaching. Thou art unto them as a very lovely song. Now I suppose if we were to go into London and we were to walk past one of the orchestra houses and we were to stop a young couple and say, excuse me ma'am, excuse me sir, why are you going in there to listen to this concert today? What would they say? Would they say, well, because we're going to hear about our sins and how we're going to be able to live to the glory of God? No, they wouldn't say that. They would say, we're going in so that we can be carried away by the entertainment that is there. My dear friends, that's why a lot of people come to church. I'm not saying that's why everybody comes to church. But you can so come in the midst of preaching that is sound and true and powerful that you feel the word penetrating the soul. You might feel carried away as like a love song. That sweet, wonderful pianist, and it moves you. And you can be moved by the preaching. But it effects no change. There are many that hear that way. There are many that come to church and come for a wonderful musical experience from the preacher. But it has left them morally and spiritually bankrupt. And it'll damn you. Because what the Lord requires, friends, is holiness. Holiness of life. Holiness of person. Without holiness, pursue peace with all men. Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. This is exactly what happened under the preaching of Ezekiel. Dear people, there's no automatic blessing from the preaching of God's word, even from a prophet. Even from the mouth of our blessed Lord Jesus, there's no automatic blessing unless that word preached takes root in your own soul. There's no blessing. So unless you take heed how you hear, it doesn't matter, all the labors of the preacher can be nothing more than emotional, sentimental experience of a lovely song. It will profit you nothing if there's no change in the heart. And brethren, let me say this, we work hard as the ministers of God and spend many hours in studying the Word of God to faithfully execute a good exegesis, a careful exegesis of the text. But unless you take heed and become better listeners, all of our labors come to naught. Nothing. And I have to preach to my own soul when I preach. And friends, more is required of us. The preach. Take heed how you hear. Why? Because there is no automatic blessing that comes from delightful, enthusiastic attendance upon the preacher and the message given. Now again, I'm not despising faithful preaching. But when there's nothing more than that, there's a curse. Because the person that does not take heed to what he hears, even that which he seems to have, is taken away. I cannot think of a more important message to begin this year with. Because I have no doubt that there will be faithful preaching in this church. But it makes no difference if we don't take heed to how we hear. And over the years, it has become apparent to me that by and by, what many seem to have had has been taken away from them. Because they come for entertainment. They don't come to be changed. After, isn't that why we're here? To hear what God says, that we may effect change? Doers of His Word, not just hearers. Covetousness and entertainment. You see, that's their condition. Covetous. I want to continue on in that lifestyle. I enjoy His ministry. I agree with what He's saying, but I'm still holding on to my sin. What a tragedy. The second test. The self-deceiving of the heart is such that we think hearing equals doing. I'm sure you're familiar with this passage. James chapter 1, verse 22. Please, if you turn with me there. James 1, 22. James says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man, beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth, he sees himself, and goes his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Now, here is not a man who has put himself under a false ministry of health and wealth, prosperity, preaching, but he is under the realm of that pure, sound exposition of the Word of God. Here is a man amidst that faithful preaching of God's Word. And here he beholds himself in the mirror of God's Word. He sees himself, he sees his sin, he sees all the blackness on his face. I'm speaking metaphorically here, the dirt of sin. And he puts down the glass. And immediately he's forgotten what he's seen. Here is the deluded man. There's this full, lighted illumination from the Word of God of what he looks like. His sin is exposed. He sees the filth, as it were, on his face. And then he puts the mirror down and immediately he forgets. This man is in the horrifying position of being self-deceived. Hearing, he thinks, equals doing. You see that there in the text, verse 22? "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." He knows, I must hear the word. I must come to church. I must be under sound exposition. I must hear godly preaching. I must come under that faithful preaching. But failing to implement what the word demands means he's self-deceived. He forgets. I've got to hear the word. It's the word. Whatever that way of doing or implementing means by Christ for him, if he doesn't do it, he's still self-deceived. Is that how we are? You know, we come here, I don't know. I can't judge any man's heart. But we come and we hear. But we don't do what we hear. The Lord tells us lovingly, we're self-deceived. Child of God, not until that word becomes part of you by obedience Not until then, you're the worse off. Because we develop this callousness, thinking that, well, because I'm here, because I'm being moved, because I'm reading, because I'm ascertaining, because I'm understanding, that equals doing. It doesn't. Take heed. How are you here? And I hear all the time, and I'm not despising this, I hear all the time people listening to hours and hours of sermons on the internet, and that's a good thing. I'm not despising it. Never more have we been so blessed with Puritan writings, good sermons that we can listen to. Never more have we had such blessing. But I tell you what, I'm shocked and amazed to hear that very often those same people's lives lie in utter ruins and their families are a mess. They will hear the word over and over and over and over again, and they think the more they hear, that equals doing. The devil wants you to believe that. How is it people can live like that? Hearing, while their devotion to the Lord is so poor. I'm not judging anybody, but I hear it from other ministers. Oh, my people, they're hearing. They're hearing. I hear about this woman and that man. He's hearing messages. But his life is an utter mess. Why? Because he hears the word of God. May even see who he is, but no implementation of that word in his life. Nothing. He's self-deceived. He thinks he's hearing, and because he's hearing the right ministry, that equals doing. Self-deceived. Deluded. And Jesus says, that person who fails to take heed to what he hears, even that which he seems to have, it's further taken away. Do you see the danger of constantly hearing, 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 and because we hear, we think we do. To much who has been given, much will be required, brethren. It's frightening. Pray, when you've heard a message, pray, Lord, I'll put that to practice. That's why Paul says, well, you know, we need to keep a good conscience. We need to pray to God. When we sin, pray to God. Ask Him to forgive you. John says, confess your sins. Go to the Lord. But lastly, here's another test. The kind of hearing that leads to obedience is a test of our love and whether there is saving faith. Let me say it, hear me please, I do not want to be accused of this and ever saying that a man will ever lose his salvation, because we won't. If you're the Lord's and He's died for you, nothing will snatch you from His hands. But, here's the issue, is there saving faith? Is there love to Christ? Paul calls it the breastplate of righteousness, faith and love. Where there's true faith, there will be true love to Christ. True faith will mean true love and obedience to Him. When you think of faith, what is faith? It's taking God at His word, acting upon that word, responding to it in loving obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's tested as love. 1 John 2:3. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. You see, there's the test. It's simple. The person that self-deceives thinks, I can just hear, and I can continue to hear, and I can continue to come to church and deceive people, deceive myself. And I don't have to obey. But Jesus says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, He it is that loveth me. Let me repeat those words. Jesus said, John 14:21, He that hath my commandments, you've received them. That word received with meekness into the heart has been taken. They're there, you have them. It's not that you seem to have them, you really do have them. And if you have Christ's commandments, you have love for Him. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. So, my friends, that's the test. Do you love Christ? You love him? You will then take heed of how you hear. Not holding on to the things of this world. When you follow Christ, if a man will not deny himself, Jesus said, it's not worthy of me. It's not worthy of that salvation that truly I do give. The salvation I give makes a man see that he is nothing and a nobody. And he follows Christ. Laid down his life, went to a cross, went to Calvary all those years ago. The just died for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God spared not his only begotten Son, but delivered him up for us all. How will he not also with him freely give us all things? He will. All that come to him gladly lay down and aside this world. And they say, Lord, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. And how can I not serve this wonderful Master who's worthy of all my love, praise, adoration and worship? Lord Jesus, it's not too much to give you my all. Oh, but Lord Jesus, I gladly surrender my all to thee and give thee the life that I own. Take heed how you hear. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Dear friends, may the year 2013 find none of us deceived. Take heed to how you hear. The wonder of it all is to him who has, more will be given. Isn't that a wonderful promise from our blessed Saviour? May God bless his word for his name's sake. Amen.